It's the Christina LaFrance Show. Time to welcome 12 Radio's Long Island psychic medium, Christina LaFrance.
Welcome to 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. This is your host, Christina LaFrance, and you are listening live to the Christina LaFrance Show. Welcome, everybody. Happy Monday. Today is June 17th. We just came off a Father's Day weekend. I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend, and I hope that everybody is awake and ready. I'm awake. I think I'm awake. I stayed up pretty late last night, and I couldn't get up this morning. I was fighting with myself. You should get up. No, I don't want to get up. You should get up. But I got up. Here I am. And we have a good conversation that we're going to jump into today. I saw this meme on Facebook and it really grabbed me. We don't need the absence of negative thoughts to have a peaceful mind. Inner peace is the result of not being in conflict with our thoughts. When instead of believing or rejecting thoughts that do not serve us, we simply acknowledge them without feeding their stories. I think this is such an important conversation because I know it's something that I struggled with for years. I know that a lot of you probably have or currently are and sometimes do and sometimes don't. But wherever you're at, in your life concerning negative thoughts, this is a really intense and important conversation to have because I think that it's going to bring you some relief. Because I think that a lot of us think that the absence of negative thoughts is where we need to get to. And I'm here to tell you that's never happening, ever, ever. So let it go. Forget about it. Be at peace with that human side of us and understand that our brains are like computers and they pick up things. It's like your brain's like a signal. And also your brain is a signal to the universe in terms of trying to get a message to you. So sometimes, we get confused with the affirmation thing of, let me cover this up or let me cover that up. And affirmations have their place in our lives and they're hugely important. And the body of work that Louise Hay put out was iconic and extremely useful in the world. And I wake up every day saying her affirmations. They're like, burned in my memory, right? But they have their place. I think that we have to realize that sometimes the universe is signaling us where, sometimes that nagging thought that keeps going through our heads, you don't want to cover it up. You want to feel into it, right? You want to, if it's repetitive and it keeps going off and going off, it's because the universe is trying to signal you to understand something or to pay attention to something. Sometimes we just have these random, horrible, no, don't call me now. Let me shut my ringer off. I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes we just have these random nagging thoughts that don't really mean anything, but I think that a lot of us can create storylines around them, right? So that's what this show is about. It's like to be able to pick and choose and understand that peacefulness doesn't come from not having negative thoughts. It comes from not attaching ourselves to them and knowing when to pay attention and when not to. It's like sometimes we just have to let the thoughts be what they're going to be and not really get too attached to why did I have that thought or what's happening or am I spiraling backwards or, what is the universe? Sometimes we just get so carried away and attach these insane stories or storyline to a specific thought and it's not needed, right? Or sometimes the story goes like this. I get these calls all the time like, oh, Christina, I don't know what I'm doing wrong or I'm just doomed to be a negative person because I can't do what you do. I have these terrible thoughts or these negative self-defeating thoughts and they're never going to go away, So I think that if any of us are stuck in that mode of thinking, first of all, we have to change that thinking and understand that we're never going to be absent of negative thoughts. That's just part of the human condition. And we're living in blood, you know, blood, bone bodies, and we're experiencing a human life, and that's part of it. We have to accept, we have to full accept that that is going to be part of our experience on this earth plane. And what we do with those thoughts, we can make that decision, you know. And sometimes, listen, sometimes, you know, and myself included, we're bounced into this negative energy that, you know, we want to attach it to a story, or we want to blame someone, or we want to have some kind of storyline as an excuse to where it's coming from, or all that stuff. But I think that we, a lot of the times, can just be peaceful and allow these thoughts to just pass by, and we notice them, but we don't attach to the energy and create any fate or any type of scenario around them. That's the best way that we can do it, because a lot of the time it's like we can get lost for weeks in negative self-talk because we're attaching ourselves to it. And it's almost like it's like the Course in Miracles, right? We fall asleep into the dream again. And, you know, I've been meditating for many, many years, probably 15 years, I've lost count. But I do know that a lot of people have trouble meditating because they get so wrapped up in their thoughts, and they think that their brains are going to be completely emptied, and that's when they've made it or they've done it right. And that's just not true. It's just not true. It's not to empty your mind of thoughts or negative thoughts or thoughts in general, but to become the observer. And it's almost like what I'm asking you or telling you, inviting you to do, suggesting you should do, is to become the observer of your thoughts, the observer in the waking hours, as if you were doing meditation. So when I meditate, and what I suggest, and when I teach meditation to people, I always say, don't give me the excuse that your brain can't stop thinking or that you can't stop having thoughts, whether they're negative, positive, whatever. I don't want to hear that, because that is just normal. Every single person does that. If you're living in a human body, you're doing that. So that's not an excuse not to meditate. My mind wanders. I can't. No, because that's perfectly normal. When you're meditating and the thoughts are coming and whatever, negativity or the laundry list, or, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to pick the kids up from school, I have to do laundry, I have to make dinner, you know, I have to go to work, you know, or you're thinking about things that happened at work the day before, or, you know, maybe you're the boss and you have to fire somebody and you're going off in that. It's really about you not concentrating on the thought, getting lost in it, making up a story around it, becoming present in the thought, but just observing it and just letting it wash over you. Like, yeah, my mind is creating all kinds of chaos right now. My mind is worried. That's okay. That's okay. This peaceful meditation is really what I need right now. Right? And become the observer. And when we become the observer, we get to move into that space that says, wow, who's actually observing those thoughts, right? And knowing that there's that bigger part of you that is taking over. And I, you know, it's interesting because when I meditate, I mean, I used to meditate like crazy, in the sense of like hours, you know, I got into it in that capacity for a long time, where I would do these 1 or 2 hour meditations. And it was like a challenge for me to be able to get my body to sit still for that long and to really getting engulfed in nothingness and mindfulness and being the observer. And I mean, it was, you know, it was amazing and it was, you know, challenging, but I, you know, I love a challenge. And it did so much for me in my waking life. You know, it actually really changed me as a person in terms of my tolerance and the peacefulness that I got as a result of doing that was worth every minute of it, you know, of the frustration trying to get in there and do that. And, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. you know, now my meditation practice is more of waking up in the morning and 10 or 15 minutes of, you know, peacefulness. And maybe before I go to sleep at night, the same thing. You know, I still have my foot in the door. It's very useful. You know, there's some days where I find more time to meditate than others. But I always make sure that every day I do take that time. I'm before coming on radio, my computer was updating. And instead of getting frustrated about it, I felt my body getting a little irritated. Nothing crazy, but I decided instead of standing here and watching the computer, you know, it's like watching the microwave when you're waiting for food, right? I decided instead of doing that, I was going to go outside and ground. I just kind of sat in front of a tree and put my back on the tree and, you know, sat in the dirt. I got a little dirty, but that's okay. It was worth it. So I'd rather sit there and grab the earth energy than to sit there staring at a screen and, you know, feeling my body start to fill up with frustration, right? So, you know, it's all right. You know, it's all good. I'll get on air when I'm supposed to get on air. And that, you know, that's what meditation does for you. It gives you that that peacefulness, and you're able to calm your body down before it starts to take off. You know, sometimes we and if you're not in that space, that's okay too, because sometimes we, you know, we get triggered. We almost ignite something that's within our bodies, some kind of anger or something that we're holding down. You know how you can tell that you're holding stuff down in your body is that you're involved in some kind of an addiction, you know, and addictions vary, right? You could be addicted to overeating. You could be addicted to, you know, sugar. You know, you could be addicted to smoking. Raising my hand for that one. That's been a lifelong struggle. Addicted to various things. You know, it could go to drugs, drinking, whatever. It doesn't make a difference, but everybody has some form of addiction. It could be shopping. It could be gossiping. Who the hell knows? But when you're in a repetitive routine of addiction, it's because there's something you're holding down within the body, right? When we're holding down something within our body and our shadow, and we're not addressing it, we have to do something to keep it quiet, you know? So that's how you know, right? So sometimes we get triggered up into these places where our body just completely takes over. We have no control over it, right? Like today, no big deal. The computer's taking its time, doing what it's going to do. I didn't feel very affected by it, but I thought, why stir it up? Let me go outside. But sometimes our body just completely takes over. Right? A thought can do that to us. A thought can cross our minds and trigger us back into something. That's where people get really confused, because they're like, I thought I had a handle on this. And here it is, my body reacting. Now, this is the really big part of it where change can actually happen, is that when the body does trigger, when the pain body is ignited. So let's say there's a thought that comes that triggers pain, old pain from the body. Because remember, let's backtrack a minute. Why do we have pain in our bodies? It's something from the past that we buried. It's something that happened to us that we couldn't deal with. Our brains put it into safety mode, buried it and tucked it into the body, and it's been there forever, right? And somebody's words, a song on the radio, a thought that crosses your head can ignite the pain and you don't have control over it. Those are called triggers, right? So if we're confused about how to move through that, and we're trying to affirmation it away, or we're trying to ground it away, or walk it away, or eat it away, or whatever, it really, in my experience, to start to allow that pain to come out of the body, you really have to feel into it. Feelings are meant to be felt, right? So when the trigger comes, and let's say you're alone and it's just a thought that created that trigger, you're not, there's nobody around, you know, you're safe. To take a deep breath and just sit with it and allow the pain that's igniting from your body, you know, let the tears come, let the anger come, whether you have to yell, scream, whatever you're going to do, but allow the emotional pain to come out of the body. Stop trying to push it back down. Stop trying to affirmation it away. Don't do any of those things, because feelings are meant to be felt, right? And when you're in a trigger, if you're around another party and you lash out at somebody, and you know, because the body, listen, when the body's in a trigger, a lot of the times we don't have any control over our mouths, our bodies. I know for myself, when I get triggered, I know enough now, 90% of the time, to zip up my mouth, because my mouth can be, I'm a double Sag, so, and I'm an Aquarius sun. It's a lethal combination when it comes to that. So I know enough to, Christina, shut your mouth down, because it's going to go wild, right? I know enough to do that. But it's funny, because my body, what it instinctually does is and I don't even notice it half the time, is that I will start packing. If I'm out, I'll start gathering my stuff to leave. Like, my body literally takes me out the door. And sometimes that's a good thing, because sometimes when you're not in control of the pain that's releasing itself from your body, sometimes it's a safe bet to remove yourself, right? And for me, it's like, I realize that sometimes I have to stay. I have to stay to face what's in front of me, because that's my trigger. That's my pain, you know, and that's the pattern that I'm engulfed in to run when things get too hot, right? So for me, depending on the situation, you know, for me to stay is healing for me, right? So, you know, it really just depends on, you know, what is transpiring at the moment. But the gist of it is that when the pain arises, if the situation permits, for you to feel the pain and allow, I know it sounds sadistic, but it's the only way through and the only way out. It's the only way to heal, is to actually be present for it. I'm not going to push it back down. I'm just going to feel it, you know? And if you're in the presence of somebody, you could, you know, and the tears are coming out and the body is triggered, you could say, you know, please excuse me. You know, I'm having a visceral reaction to what just happened. And I'm not exactly sure what's happening, but I need to process, right? I need to process, or I just need to have a little walk, or I just need to be quiet right now, or I just need you to hold my hand or hug me right now. Like, whatever is going to be appropriate at that moment. But that's how we start to move through releasing pain from our bodies. You know, evidently, if you're at like a public event, or, you know, things that, you know, aren't, you know, appropriate for you to be able to do that, you know, if you got to act accordingly, you know, maybe sometimes you just have to get the hell out of there because you can't control what's happening to your body right now. And I've had that happen to me. I know you've all had that happen to you when you're in a room full of people and something just transpires that chokes you up, brings tears to your eyes, puts you in a state where you just don't have control over your own self, right? That would be the time to excuse yourself and get to a quiet place and be able to just process and allow those feelings to wash over you and to just feel them. Because, you know, feelings, it's funny because we all avoid feelings at all costs, including myself, right? I'm famous for that, being an Aquarian, right? I'll, you know, have it in my head and, you know, but the thing is that feelings are fleeting and they're quick. We only suffer with our feelings when we don't allow them to just be what they are and to just feel them, you know? Let yourself feel the feelings. And you know what? Every time I've done that, it's over with pretty quickly. To stay present, accept it, and just allow that flow to just go through you. And that the same thing goes for anger, right? The same thing goes for anger. Anger is a necessity, and it's a stepping stone to healing as well. You know, a lot of us, when we experience anger, instead of having a healthy outlet and being okay with our anger and saying, you know, I'm mad, like, you know, you get people that come at you and say, oh, lower your voice or calm down, or, you know, try to shame us into tucking that anger back into our bodies. But the same thing goes for that, for anger, to have a safe outlet where you can express yourself and, you know, possibly have somebody to talk to bitch it out, you know, and get that anger out of your body. You know, it's amazing that in society we're taught to, you know, oh, don't cry in front of people, or don't show your emotions, or don't be angry, or don't be sad, or get over this fast, or get, you know, everybody has their fast rules around emotions and anger and grief. But I think that there aren't any fast rules. I think that there are, it's just different for all of us to process, right? It's just, we have to allow ourselves the time that we need to process through what is actually happening in the moment, right? And to, you know, the one thing that I learned throughout the years was not to act on it, right? Not to act on my anger and not to, I mean, there've been many times I've acted out in anger and made decisions that I later regretted, right? And we're not meant to act out on our high emotions or anger or emotions in general, right? We're meant to feel it. All right, when we come back, we'll talk more on this subject. I'm going to give you some tips and tricks on, you know, how to get peaceful with your mind. You're listening to 1-2 Radio, and I'm your host, Christina LaFrance. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening live to the Christina LaFrance Show right here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. We are talking about self-defeating thoughts. We're talking about negative thoughts and what we can do to move past being so attached to those thoughts, you know, and get rid of the idea that we can only be peaceful if our brain doesn't generate displeasing thoughts. Because it's just not the truth. It's just never going to happen. You know, it's funny because sometimes I'll be sitting and doing whatever, and my mind will go off and attach itself to a thought. And it's like I see these two doorways, and I know that I can go down one, you know, open up this one door that's going to be like, oh, let me just completely ridicule and rip myself apart for this thought, or the other doorway of like, who cares? Like, it's just a thought, you know, let me be the observer of this. You know, let me allow myself to understand that this is just part of the human condition. Or I don't know, maybe I've had this thought like 60 times today. Maybe the universe is trying to nag me to do something. You know, maybe I keep getting this thought because the universe is trying to head me into a different direction, right? And a lot of people get confused by that and say, I don't know, Christina, you know? So I think if it's just a random thought that is a little dark, like, you know, you've had this thought, like, I don't know, maybe you're in a new friendship with somebody, or maybe you have a new job and you just got this random thought that was probably, you know, generated by a little bit of fear or whatever. It's like, let me be aware that my fear is amping up a little bit, but let me not create a storyline around it. It's not that serious. But if the thought keeps coming and coming and coming, then, you know, maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, maybe I have to address, maybe the universe is trying to tell me that I need to address the fact that, you know, there's fear that guides me in my life. And I don't want to attach myself to that. That's when affirmations come in really handy, when the thought is moving you back into, or mudsliding you back into a pattern that you're trying to move away from, right? That's where affirmations come in really handy. You know, sometimes it's just your mind generating information that's saying, you know, listen, maybe you should, you know, start exercising, or, you know, take better care, or eat better, or, you know, drink more water, or meditate, or, you know, those are useful thoughts that the universe might be trying to get you to, you know, do something different, right? And sometimes they're just these random, ridiculous thoughts that, you know, you just need to observe and not get too attached to. You know, it's like when we wake up in the morning, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I wake up with the most amazing thoughts, right? And sometimes I wake up to thoughts that put me into action, right? That are like, come on, let's go. You know, like, you got shit to do today. And, you know, you have a list of things that have to get accomplished. And, you know, you said that you were going to do, you know, and that's okay. Sometimes our brain is just guiding us and reminding us, right? And sometimes it's torturing us. And sometimes it's really useful information. But, you know, how we get to understand that is know thyself, right? Get to understand ourselves in a way that say, yeah, you know, I still got a little bit of fear that's creeping around the corner concerning this decision that I made, or this decision that I'm about to make. I can either let the chatter take me over and let it create a whole side contract for myself, like whisk me away into Never Never Land, or I can just address the fact that, you know, sometimes I do get a little fearful around making choices, and, you know, all is well, I am safe. That's my go-to. That's my go-to when my brain, you know, goes into that mode, right? All is well, I am safe, right? And sometimes we have to say that all day long to move into a better space. Or sometimes we have to take action and, you know, cross our T's and dot our I's in terms of, what do I have to do to make myself feel safer, right? You know, and a lot of the times it's like, you know, people will say like, you know, you jump off the cliff, like I'm going to take this chance. But, you know, I know for myself that there are certain things that I have to put into play that are going, because I know myself, like in terms of like, if I'm going to take a chance doing this, I really need to put these certain things into play that make me myself feel safe and secure. You know, it's all different for all of us. You know, sometimes we have to do that. It's okay to coddle yourself a little bit and put some things into place that feel good, that will allow us to take those extra steps. There's nothing wrong with that. Life is not about taking random chances all the time and just jumping off cliffs. Sometimes, you know, we have to just, you know, put into play what we know will work for us. That's for sure. Let me jump into the chat room. I'm very chatty this morning because I drank like a triple cappuccino. I had no coffee and then I was like, let me drink this triple cappuccino to wake up. And I am very awake. Let's see. Hello. Hello, Elizabeth. Hello, Linda Riley. That's my maiden name, Riley. Okay, let's see. Hi, Patricia. Nice to see you. Hello, Renee. Hi, Quelly. Wonderful to see you. Let's see if I could switch to all comments. Hey, John, how are you? Good morning. If you guys want to ask questions, I'll answer some questions. Hi, Lori Love. How are you? Nice to see you. Nice to have your calm, grounding Capricorn energy in the room. All right, let's see. Let me give Elizabeth a message for the week. Grab some cards. Anyone, Elizabeth? Let's see. Yeah, I'll definitely take some questions in the last 20 minutes of the show. Hang on. All right. So the message that I'm getting you for Elizabeth is for you to be more vocal about what you want pertaining to love. So whether you're in a relationship, not in a relationship, like that comes up, like be vocal, be honest with yourself about what you want in love, because that's coming up in your field. So whether you're single and you know, or really be vocal with yourself and like, you know, it's a weird thing because it's like it reminds me of myself in the sense of like the energy that I feel surrounded around you. It's like sometimes we don't really know what we want. And we have to, you know, sometimes we are going forward in love in a way that is pattern or what we were taught from family or friends or you know, just our background of the way that things should be, right? You should do this or you should do that. You know, that's what everybody has done in our tribe. But it's like to sit back and to really just understand and feel into what you want. Like, what are my desires concerning relationships or love? Or, you know, am I happy in this current relationship or am I happy being single? Like, what is it that I actually want outside of what people told me I should want in the world of love? You know, and is this working for me? So that's like this self-discovery that you're about to embark on in your journey is to really start to discover what are my wants in the world of love. You know, not what I was told I should want or you know, what I was told I should do, or is this working for me? Is this not working for me? Or, you know, do I want to be, you know, just your desires outside of what you were told? Let me know how that makes sense for you, sweetheart. Okay, let me refresh the page and see if I could grab any comments.
this Facebook. Let's see if it'll be different here. Hi, Quelly. Okay, let's see. You're very single, huh? I don't know, honey. I think love is gonna be something that is, you know, up for questioning over the next half of this year. You believe we're already halfway through this year? Isn't that crazy? Like, I feel like we just started it and we're more than halfway through. So yeah, that's coming up for you, sweetheart. For sure. Okay. So, all right. So getting back to our thoughts, what generates our thoughts, we're just all taking all the thoughts that come through our heads so seriously. And, you know, another part of it is this, like, what thought processes are we addicted to? Right? What is our brain wiring and firing for? Like, you know, we have addictions and impulsive, not impulsive, compulsive thoughts can be part of that, that plagues a lot of us, right? So, you know, you gotta, presence is a big thing to talk about in this area. So you have to see how present you really are in the moment, right? Are you consumed by your thoughts? Or like, can one thought take you off and spinning into creating a storyline that just isn't the truth? You know, a lot of us can be, and this has happened to every one of us, where you hear something or you're talking with somebody, whether it's at work or with a friend or, you know, somebody you're, you know, married to or in a relationship with, or even your children, you know, somebody could say something that triggers you off into this fairy tale where the person's looking at you like, that's not what I meant at all. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And like, you can create, that's how fights are always created, right? You can create this whole false interpretation of what somebody said and take you off into a course that, you know, you didn't need to go down. But maybe you did actually, right? Because if you can become aware that you're doing that, right? Like, oh, you know, this is something that I compulsively do. Like I read into what people say. I create storylines. I get insulted really quick. I get offended, right? Those thoughts we have to watch as well, you know, but that, if that keeps happening to you and you feel like you get into arguments with people about things because you're taking things personally, or you're just going off on a tangent about something that somebody said and you're going off into creating this storyline of that's completely false, you have to look at that as a learning and a teaching tool. Like, wow, you know, this keeps getting, I'm offended, and it keeps getting rerouted back to this one thing. That's a pattern. It's a habitual pattern that keeps repeating itself because the universe is trying to teach you something. It's trying to get you to take it back to self, right? It's like how you can start to come out from underneath that is to release blame from the outside world and just look at yourself in terms of like, why am I always offended? Why am I so sensitive? You know, can I talk this out without taking this super personal and keep pointing my finger at, you know, an outside entity or party? Like, can I look at myself truly and take it to myself and say, you know, this is something I have to work on. This is something that I can see has happened to me because of, you know, my past, you know? So, you know, I have this one client that, I have many clients that, you know, come to me with relationship issues. And, you know, I want a common thing that I see among clients that call me for relationship issues is that they're holding on to the pain is in the body from a past experience, and they're projecting it onto their current relationship, right? That's what we all do. Every one of us does it. That's how we, you know, can heal things. It's how the universe so brilliantly shows us ourselves, right? Is when we project it on to somebody else. But when two people are on an equal playing field and they're honest enough to to look at it, I have clients that I've been working with for years that they know themselves, they know the background, they know where their triggers are, they know the pain, they've done a lot of shadow work, they've done a lot of work on it, and they're able to be honest with their partners and say, you know, I'm feeling a little uneasy about this certain situation, and I need to talk it out with you. You know, whether it's, you know, true or it's a made-up story in my head, you know, I really need to be honest with you that this is my sore spot, and you know, we have to talk about that. And if you have two people, like I said, that are on the same playing field in consciousness, where you're able to hold each other through that and say, you know, this is what this is, and you know, be there for each other, then it works, right? But when you have one that is completely unconscious and doesn't see that they're triggered into their past, that's when things go crazy, right? So it's, you really have to know yourself, and when you get triggered into stories in your head and like a thought crosses and you start to play out that story and you fall back asleep into the dream, the only person that can pull you back is yourself. No reassurance from the outside. You have to become aware of your, you have to know your edges in this life. You really do. It doesn't make you a bad person. It actually makes you a conscious person to know your edges in this life, right? And it's interesting because, and I think I said this in last week's show, is that I know for myself that most of my healing has occurred just out of acceptance of my edges, my sharp edges, right? So when I was trying to affirmation my sharp edges away, and I was trying to push them back down, and I don't, you know, I don't want to face this. I know that's not me. No. That's when I kept seeing it in the outside world. It kept hitting me in the outside world, because that's what the universe does strategically. It shows us our edges in the outside world so we can confront them. We project them. It's all a projection. It's a movie, a projection of our lives. Whatever you're seeing in the outside world. So I have people that'll come to me and say, you know, I meet the most horrible people through dating or friendships. Like I'd rather be alone because I'm always meeting people that betray me. It doesn't matter, Christina, if I make new friends, they betray me. If I date, they betray me. My family members betray me. So that's a projection of what needs to be healed. That's the outside projecting itself into your dream, okay? Into your movie of life. So if using that as a example, if that's the scenario, we take it back to self and say, I'm seeing rejection in my movie of life because I have to heal the rejection that I received and then fill it in. Go back in the timeline. Look at where that rejection came from. It's not to torture yourself and to relive it. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you got to torture yourself and relive it, because that's how we heal it. Let it all out, you know? But the minute that you become conscious of the storyline that you have out there and that you're projecting, it starts to dissipate and absorb, because it once it's accepted and it's like, oh shit. Oh my God, I have been creating my life via this pain of rejection, right? Holy shit. It's like you just, it's like this aha moment that's so beautiful and changes your life, right? So that's what we have to do. We have to, I know that when I accepted my edges and I, you know, you don't have to explain, you know, explain them to the world. Some of them I do. I could care less, right? You know, like if somebody says something like, oh, you're dingy, or, you know, you're forgetful, or, you know, they make comments about, you know, certain, and I say, yeah, you're right. You know, like I don't get offended by people judging some of the actions that I put out into the world. I just laugh because I know myself. Like I know that I could be forgetful, or I know that, you know, I could whatever, fill in the blank. So I think that, you know, I went through this period of time where I was learning this, and I remember going through this whole list of things that I was seeing in my movie of life, like things that I was seeing currently in my life. And I would meditate on it. I am that. I am that. You know, especially things that you have like visceral reactions to, or behavior that people have, you know, where you're calling people out on their faults, or you're calling people out on, you know, just certain things that they're doing, and you're just judging them, and you're having like a whole conversation about it. It's like I went through this period where it was so freeing to look at all the projections and say, I am that. I am that. And it loses so much power, and we don't have to stuff it down, and we don't have to try so hard. And I am that. Practice all the projections that you have out in the world by saying, I am that. You know, because what we become conscious of, and what we move into a space where we accept about ourselves, it just loses all its power. The only reason why things have power over you in this life is because you're rejecting them, right? So whatever we reject within ourselves, we will see on the outside. We will see it in other people, right? You know, you'll have like, and you could see this with like family members and stuff. You could see it in yourself if you're honest enough with yourself, where they'll be talking shit about somebody else, like, oh my God, that person is so lazy. I don't understand why they don't do this or they don't do that. Or, you know, you have all the answers to this person's life and what they should be doing and not doing. But it's actually a projection of the way that you feel about yourself, because you would not see it on the outside world. Now, of course, there are exceptions to that rule. Sometimes we're just observing. But when you're observing someone's behavior, you're not judging it, right? You're not judging it. You don't have any judgment. It doesn't have a trigger on you. But when something triggers you and causes you to judge and to snap and clap back, that's when you know you're projecting yourself onto it, right? What you reject within yourself will be seen on the outside world, right? Don't take your thoughts so seriously, guys. It's some of them, you know, you got to pay attention to, because it's the universe creeping in to say, get this done, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that. And sometimes, you know, it's just for you to strengthen yourself. You know, some fear creeps in. I don't know. Sometimes we have the oddest, weirdest, random thoughts that are like, why the fuck did I just think that? Right? And you're like, oh my God. And then you start judging yourself on it. But it's like, no, it's like, don't do that, because your brain is this amazing computer that absorbs thousands and thousands of thoughts per day from your environment as well, right? Something that could have leaked in through your brain while you were sleeping and the TV was blaring. Who knows, right? Something you heard far away. Who knows? Just don't judge. Be the observer. And it's like people are like, well, how do I know if it's the universe talking to me? You know, we've been over this before, but it's worth going over again. How do I know if this is the universe talking to me, trying to give me a message? Or, you know, how do I know if I'm just not crazy, or whatever judgment you're putting on yourself? Be the observer. Let it wash over you. Let it sip with it. Don't act on things. We, you know, I think that a lot of us are acting on things, and we're not sitting and absorbing and moving into that space where we're allowing things to just sit with us for a while. You know, that's one thing. Is, you know, I'm a double fire sign, so that's one thing that I had to learn in this life, was to sit with things, not to act on things, you know, to really just let me feel it into my system. You know, it's let me whirl around with this for a while and see how this hits me. You know, we don't have to act on every single thing. All right, let's see. So Elizabeth is saying, thank you. It makes sense. I have been thinking of that aspect of my life. Yes, darling, that is coming you. But I want you to, Elizabeth, because I that spot that I was in, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, when I started to date, it was like, I don't know what I want. Like, I know what my family said I should want, and I know what society says that I should do, or what I should want at this certain age, or whatever, you know, fill in the blanks. But what do I actually want? Like, really getting to know yourself and being able to choose love in an authentic way that feels right for you without all the noise of what other people said or society says that it should be. You know, it's just, what do I want? You know, do I want traditional things, or was it just ingrained in my brain that I should do that? You know, so that's what's coming up for you, sweetheart. And I went through that for a couple of years, and I was out there in the world dating and, you know, figuring things out, and it was a shitload of fun. So go have some fun. You know, it's amazing to, I know it's scary, but it was also crazy amazing to meet new people and to have these experiences and, you know, put yourself out there. So let us know what happens in that area of your life. And I want to thank everybody for joining me today. And I hope everybody has an amazing rest of the week. And if you need to grab me, you know that I'm on 12listen.com on the daily. And if I'm signed off for some reason, just send me a callback request. You've been listening live to the Christine LaFrance Show right here on 12 Radio. Everybody have a great week ahead.